mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In our gospel reading, we heard the story of a miracle, a blind man's sight restored. One of the chapters we've read in our parish book study has been a chapter on healing. And there are two groups looking at this book, and in both groups, that chapter seemed to really strike a chord in a positive way. And for myself as well, there was new learning and new insight. Some of the things I'd kind of heard or thought about before, but never quite put them together in the same way as the chapter did for us. And the big learning, or relearning, I guess, for me, was that when Christians talk about healing, we are not just talking about physical cure. We could be talking about physical cure because our bodies are important, but we also talk about, and more broadly talk about, healing as right relationship with God and right relationship with our neighbors. This is the Jewish idea of shalom, that God is putting this broken world right again, and healing is anything and everything that step by step, sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly, moves us toward that wholeness that God desires for us and all creation. I don't know what you think of that definition of healing. I've heard it, or versions of it, in the past, and part of me always thought, I wonder if that's a bit of a cop-out, you know? I wonder if broadening healing enough to include all of those dimensions is a way of explaining away why it is that physical cures do not seem to happen, at least in our country, in the same way they do in the New Testament. A way of explaining away why the cancer stays around, why people die young, why sickness hangs on even when people pray. Is it a cop-out, this explanation? Well, I've come to think that no, it is not, for two reasons. First of all, because it's possible to broaden your definition of healing without closing your heart to the possibility of miracles. In other words, you don't have to choose one or the other. I do believe that Jesus really healed this blind man, and that his miracles were a sign of the kingdom to come. I don't have a problem with miracles. I remember as a teenager, I was going through a bit of angst in my faith and a bit of crisis in faith, and I asked my GA leader, Aaron, all about the miracles of Jesus, and did they really happen, and all about the miracles. And she said to me, she said, "Kelly, do you believe that Jesus rose again from the dead?" I said, "Yeah, I do. I really do." She said, "Well, if you believe that, then miracles should be no problem." And I've always held on to that, you know, that the core of our faith is that God raised a man from death. And if we believe that, then I believe our hearts can be open to the possibility that God can do anything, and that that might include a physical cure. So it's not a cop-out, because you don't need to choose one or the other. But the second reason this broader definition of healing is not a cop-out is because I think, you know, we need to remember that a healed relationship can be just as much of a miracle, if not more so, than a healed body. In other words, don't underestimate what it takes to heal our relationships. How many times have you heard, either from your own mouth or from the mouth of others, "I will never, till the day I die, talk to so-and-so again"? That would take a miracle, right? Well, there you go. What we do know, whether we're talking about physical cure or this broader sense of healing, is that God wants to heal each of us, and that God calls us all to be agents of healing and restoration in the world, in our families, in our churches, and in creation. Again, the big learning for me in this chapter was that anything that puts this broken world back together counts as healing. So that means that we as followers of Jesus do not have to be, you know, recognized as a faith healer or a televangelist or have a Master of Divinity degree to participate in God's work of healing this world. this work of Kingdom Come. There's a woman, an author, Marianne Williamson, who I don't often agree with, but she did say one thing I like very much. She said, "The practice of forgiveness is one of our most important contributions to the healing of this world." It's a good example of broadening our understanding of what healing is all about. Anything that moves from brokenness to wholeness, and forgiveness obviously is one such thing that does that. Going back to our gospel reading, Jesus once said the blind should not lead the blind, and yet this time blind Bartimaeus is going to lead us. But I think if it's a blind man who'd recovered his sight, he can indeed lead us. I want to look at Bartimaeus as a model of how it is that we can come to Christ for our own healing, and also how we can participate in the healing of others and in this world. So there are six things, don't worry, they're going to be six very brief things, but that Bartimaeus does that I believe are a wonderful model for us in understanding healing. First of all, the gospel doesn't outright say this, but I think we can rest assured that Bartimaeus knew he was blind. Kind of hard not to know when you're blind. He knew he was blind. But, you know, sometimes for us, we don't know our own blindness. We don't know our own need. That can be the hardest thing, can't it? It's wisdom ancient and modern that says, you know, the first step is admitting you got a problem. And Bartimaeus, he's blind. No one, he cannot question. Everyone knows what the problem is, and so does he. We need to know that we as human beings stand in need of God. We also need to remember that it's not just human beings that stand in need of God, but again, all of creation. The world that God made has become in some way broken. It is not out of God's hands, but it does need to be healed. I'm reminded of the fact that the world is not as God created it every day, not only from listening to the news or talking to people who are having trouble, but now every night I'm hearing my son recite the Lord's Prayer. Some of you have heard this story, but it's still a good one. He's learning the Lord's Prayer, and he gets it perfect, and then he comes to the line, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." What's the next line? "On earth as it is in heaven." Gregory says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. After all, this isn't heaven." He's a theologian. This world, all of it, all of creation, human being, animals, creation itself, we all stand in need of God because, after all, this isn't heaven. Bartimaeus knew his blindness. Secondly, when Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is passing by, he calls out to him. He calls out to Jesus when Jesus is passing by. Hippocrates in the 5th century said that healing is a matter of time, but it is sometimes also a matter of opportunity. Bartimaeus saw his opportunity, and he went for it. Now, the good news for us is, as we heard from the reading in Hebrews, our opportunity is all the time. God says now is the day of salvation, and in the reading from Hebrews, we hear that we have a high priest who lives for all time to make intercession for us at all times. He is there forever, and our opportunity to call on God is any time. That's good news. And so we, like Bartimaeus, when we recognize our need, can cry out to God. Third, Bartimaeus continues to cry out despite running into a roadblock. So there's crowds leaving Jericho, and Bartimaeus is trying to get Jesus' attention. And we're told in the gospel reading that many are ordering him to be quiet. People are always trying to keep others away from Jesus, trying to keep the children away from Jesus, trying to keep nuisances away from Jesus. You know, and here they're trying to tell Bartimaeus, be quiet. But what does he do? Does he say, "Oh, okay, sorry to be a bother"? No, we're told that Bartimaeus cries out all the louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." When we come to God for healing, or when we are working in the world for healing, there are many roadblocks to come up. It may not be others trying to shut us down, it may be that, but it may also be a struggle in our own faith, or a grudge we're carrying, or a question of, is God hearing my prayer? When we come against all these, we can be like Bartimaeus and cry out all the more. Fourth, what is it that Bartimaeus cries out for? He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Notice that he doesn't say, Jesus, Son of David, heal my sight. He says that a little later, but he doesn't say it now. When he cries out to Christ, all he is doing is laying himself and his need before the Lord. You know, I think that's a very wise thing. How often when someone is sick or there's a problem or there's something that needs healing, do we start with what the solution is and then pray to try to convince God to get us to the solution we've already decided, right? The solution here may seem obvious. He's blind and he wants to see. But Bartimaeus just asks for mercy. He lays his need on the table, and I think there's wisdom in that. Fifth, when Jesus comes to Bartimaeus and asks, what do you want me to do for you? Which is lovely in itself, isn't it? Even Jesus doesn't assume what it is that Bartimaeus wants. When Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus? He answers, my teacher, let me see again. Honest, simple, plain, open. You know, sometimes we will struggle in prayer, and then God does come to us and offer healing. And then sometimes we go, oh, well, I don't really deserve it, God. Or, you know, there are others who are struggling much more than I am. I hear that one from people all the time. Or even, it's okay, God, I can handle it myself. You stay over there. But Bartimaeus, when approached by Christ, states his desire with trust and simplicity. My teacher, let me see again. Finally, after he is healed, Bartimaeus follows Jesus on the way. Healing always calls for a response. Sometimes the response is of praise. Think of the story of the 10 lepers and the one who returned to give praise to God. Sometimes it's a response of thanksgiving. But the response is always to follow Christ and to keep following Christ on the way. This is where we get back to this notion of healing as right relationship with God and with our neighbors. You know, imagine if Bartimaeus had been given his sight back and the first thing he decided to do was go and punch someone square in the face since he could see so well. He would still be physically cured, but what of his healing? Bartimaeus, after he is healed, follows Jesus on the way. And so where are you at this morning? Do you know your need? For some of us, that's the easiest part. For some of us, it may be the hardest. Knowing your need, have you called out to God? And have you persevered in calling out, even when you hit an obstacle? Do you lay your need only, and not the solution to it, at the foot of the cross? Have you taken the opportunities God has given you to be a part of someone else's healing, or in the healing of creation? And when Jesus asks you, gently and tenderly asks you, what it is you want him to do for you, have you told him with an open heart, trusting like a little child? As we do all this, by God's gracious initiation and invitation, the kingdom and healing and that great shalom will come. Amen.